Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It is Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium. Coming up, we'll get to our leads at around 7, and Boomer Esiason will join us at 8. But right now, it is Mike Vrabel on a Patriots Monday, and the head coach of the New England Patriots is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating the sexual health of men, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF FDIC. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
How are you?
That was a mouthful.
Are you empty-handed? You didn't show up empty-handed. Okay, good. All right, we got victory shots.
Come back again.
Victory shots from,
line them up.
From the coach.
Put them on Wiggy's tab.
All right. Yeah. Put it on Wiggy's tab.
There you go.
Look at these. So this is the immunity shot. From Pure Green, and Coach brings it in.
Shake it up. You gotta shake it.
You gotta shake it.
You gotta get all that good stuff.
You gotta shake all the good stuff in there. And what's in this again?
That's the ginger.
Ginger. We got ginger.
Oh, good.
Is there any cayenne pepper or anything?
You're gonna be shocked. You're gonna be shocked.
All right, let's give it a go. Here, cheers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
Oh,
yeah.
Spilled some.
Salute.
Oh. Wow. Oh.
So good.
That one is.
That is
burns.
Wow. Good.
Now, what is that?
Tastes so good when it hits your lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a lime or something.
Wow. That's
a groan going down.
Yeah. And that gets right in there and starts working everything through. Is that what that does? Is that
I have no idea what it does. No idea.
Well, it's difficult every week, it seems like, for us to find anything that is wrong with this.
Oh, I'm
with
sure
this
you guys got a few.
With this football team. But you talked, you always say to the guys that, it's not perfect. We're getting there. I know you felt like once again started slow a little bit. I think you put that on yourself yesterday.
Well, it's just there was a lot to that week, and I think that our guys handled it really well. And we just have to do a better job, early on, of settling in quickly and being aggressive and having a play style, no matter what the call is, about finishing drives. And then defensively being able to answer some of these are plays that they worked on. These are game plan plays. They're trick plays that they've been working on, whether that's the throwback. And obviously, we hit the similar play to Pop last week. And, somebody just, you have to have a little disruption. You can't make it look like it's their Friday move the field practice. And you know, we'll have to do a better job of that, of trying to disrupt their timing and flow early on defensively, and then we'll have to be able to finish drives offensively.
What's the message? I see you in the game. Ramondre runs the ball well. I see you early and tell him keep it high and tight and everything. It looked like he had that confidence. What was your message to him just throughout the week and throughout that game? Because it looks like he was playing with another level of confidence yesterday.
Yep. I think the biggest thing, and again, we don't want to get lackadaisical at the sidelines or going to the ground or near the end zone. And, you know, one thing you find is when guys make moves or do things that the ball can't come off their body. And so, again, it was about don't let ball security paralyze us, making sure that our O-line is getting into the combinations and making sure that the backs are doing a good job of getting into the line of scrimmage, and then just kind of, you know, then you just have to run. But we can't sit there and we can't dance and wait, and we also can't just plot it up in there for 2 yards and think that's going to be enough either.
Was it nice to see some of the Titan fan support? I saw a guy with a sign who said, I'd cut my D off to get Mike Vrabel back here as a head coach, a reference to something you said one time.
Yeah, that was my cousin. I had all these guys. I take care of all these people that go do that.
Was that cool to see, though?
Yeah, I mean, again, I saw a lot of friends. I saw, you know, I mean, Carter was excited. It was important. You know, again, it was just it was good to go back there. There's a lot of, I think the people that I really enjoyed seeing were the ones in the support staff and the people that have been there for a while and that were there with us. And, you know, I hadn't seen a lot of, and so it was good to see their faces.
I thought Drake did a good job giving you the game ball.
He did. He did. And again, I appreciate it. And I'm happy for these guys. I'm happy that they can see success and they can feel it and they're excited and a lot of great personal, achievements, and most importantly, the team achievement.
Speaking of game balls, we had Robert Spillane on Friday, and I don't think he knew that he had a game ball coming from the New Orleans game. When are those coming? Wiggy said it takes a while to paint them.
We're figuring out what we're going to put on them here after these three-game road trips.
So. Okay, all right, so those are still coming.
I guess so. Yeah, okay. But that's one thing I'm not in charge of.
You're not in charge of that. No, everything else,
stretch on.
Well, circling back to Wiggy and what he said about Ramondre, there were a lot of people, especially in the first part of the season, that were calling for you to bench Ramondre, and you showed confidence and support to him throughout the entire thing. Every Monday with us, anytime we asked about him, you showed support. What did you see in Ramondre that a lot of people that were watching the games at home didn't see?
Well, it's just the whole entire body of work. All our backs are going to play, and Gravion's going to have a role, and now Terrell's going to have a role, and Ramondre, but he's a very good pass protector. And again, there's the whole body of work. We got to take care of the football. But he's also did a lot of really good things early in the season against Miami, and you know, there'll be a time where they're calling for my job, and they're calling for everybody's job. That's just how this business works, and I didn't want to jerk the wheel, but also, you know, there was a lot of conversations about what our ball carriers and our receivers and everybody that has the football, how they have to take care of it, or, you know, then we have to make some other decisions. You know, you look at last week at the end of the game, he steps up, he blocks the inside linebacker. Yesterday, he's blocking in protection. He's up in the A-gap. He goes out, scans out to the nickel, and we're able to get a big third down pass off. So he does a lot of things without the football, and then when he does have the football, when he takes care of it and he's decisive, you know, he's been good for it.
You waiting to shake the guy's hands after the game has become a cool thing. Bill Cowher kind of took credit for that on TV yesterday. Is that where you got that from? He said when you were a rookie there that he did that. So he was kind of.
There was a lot that I learned from Bill. I don't know what I remember from 1997. That's a long time ago. But I did really enjoy being drafted to the Steelers for that organization, the veterans on that team, to Bill. Those were good years for me and my growth. Never started a game. I learned a lot of football, played a lot of special teams, played a lot of different positions defensively that prepared me for the rest of my career.
Mike, yep. They had the game plan yesterday. It appeared that it was, we're going to get to Tennessee and we're going to run the ball until they stop us. Is that coming from you? Was that, how did that game plan come together on offense?
Well, there, you know, just some things that we'd seen and what we felt like we needed to do and the identity that we had to have for that football game. And, when things are working, you want to stick with them and obviously stay balanced. But, you know, I thought it was important for our guys to see that and put that stuff on tape. And, you know, we've got wide receivers. We got Mac Hollins that's pushing a pile for 5 yards and helping a running back. And there's a lot of great efforts there to be able to stay connected on combinations, Simmons or Sweat or, you know, anything else and getting up to the second level. And you know, so there's a lot of good stuff on film. There's a lot of stuff that we can improve on.
Who was Simmons doing the crying emoji to on the sideline?
Me, I'm sure. But I'm sure he's not going to want to hear this, but what makes you cry will make me laugh, I guess. Right. I know that that's not how it goes, but I spun it around there. So, I mean, Jeff and I have a good relationship, and, sorry to see him get hurt. But, again, as a coach, I have to take the high road, and I was proud of myself for not responding.
Drake got banged up a little bit. Any thought looking back now that maybe you take him out of that game earlier, or that's probably not your style?
No, I mean, I think that his ability to extend the football and extend the play and when he got banged up, and again, we got to protect the quarterback, and but I also felt like we got sloppy. I think we got up and had a really good first half, and then I think we got sloppy, and those are some things that we're going to have to address and have to realize that these games aren't over, as we saw late last night in Denver in the Giants game, and we could pull them out, or we could just play football and protect them and, you know, at the right opportunity, get everybody else in there.
One of the things that I like, and you know, as former players, it's hard to find coaches that are authentic because we can spot a fraud from a mile away. And a lot of your players talk about the genuineness and how authentic you are and how real you are. How important is that not only you, but the rest of your coaching staff make sure that, you know, that's a message that those players understand. We're going to give it to you like it is. Sometimes you might like it. Sometimes you might not like it.
I also tell them, I said, the harder you play,
it's going to cost you $100 for the swear jar, Ty Law.
We do have a Ty Law swear jar. $100 goes to the Greg Hill Foundation.
See, stretch.
We'll see stretch for that.
The harder they play, the more that I'm going to give them, the more leeway that I'm going to give them. And so those are some things that I have that, you know, again, when I see things that can help them, I want to try to tell them and show them and coach them. And when there's things that are non-negotiable as it relates to their effort or things that they're doing to hurt us, that I have to address it.
Obviously, you want the team to protect the quarterback better going forward, but especially against a Browns defense next week, that is hard. How can Drake protect himself better?
Making good decisions in the open field. And, you know, when you see one, there's another one coming. And so, you know, making sure that you get down and, you know, protect yourself and the equipment and everything else. And he will. And again, I just think that he wants to win so badly. He wants to be successful and just a complete package for us and a playmaker. You know, it's just a fine line. It's a fine balance of, I think he does a good job of getting through the pocket and when it's not there, getting out and extending and then just making a great decision and, you know, trying to make sure that you don't have to beat everybody out there. You can just get down and take a 5 or 6 yard gain or just be mindful of where you're at and how many guys are around you.
Mike, there were several stats that came out post-game about Drake May joining Tom Brady as the only two Patriots quarterbacks to be at this completion percentage or to have this success and this many touchdowns, all that. What do you see in Drake May that makes those, statistical comparisons
sure.
in any way a reality to how he plays the game, that he could be someone that could carry this team for 15 years?
Well, I mean, he's very accurate from different platforms, whether that's in the pocket, that's out of the pocket. You know, there's a really, really good accuracy. I think that there's a lot of confidence. Very, you know, he's just an athletic quarterback. And by that, I just mean that there's different things that he does. It doesn't have to be so rigid and just drop back, plant, transfer, throw. You know, there's a lot of other movements to him that I think make him unique. But the accuracy has certainly been very good.
What's the one thing he's improved the most since you arrived here?
I think his pocket presence or his ability to transfer through the pocket. It's something as young quarterbacks coming out of college you don't see a ton of, probably because they don't work on it, or maybe because there's a three-man rush a lot of times in college and they have a little bit more time, or maybe they're just extending out of the pocket because they can physically. But that's something that they've worked very hard on. I know that Josh has done a great job and Ashton's done a great job on the drill work and seeing it and being able to do it when it's there. You saw an example of Dobbsy doing it, you know, yesterday when he got in and pulling through with two hands, still remaining a passer, keeping your eyes downfield as opposed to pulling through and looking down here at the rush.
I'm a sucker for a great story, but it was so cool to see him show up at the Zavarian CM game on Friday night.
Yeah, and there was other players there too. They just didn't have field access or the police escort, so they got on Drake. They said, "I would just sit up in the stands with the common folk."
Yeah,
but there was a group of players there, and Drake just happened to have the escort.
The one area where you said you wanted to see a little bit more improvement in was getting to the quarterback. I know you had 5 sacks yesterday.
Yeah, it's just not enough on early downs.
Right. What was the difference in the last several weeks from yesterday with the pressures?
Well, yesterday was, the sacks. Again, I'm not looking at the sacks. The sacks come later on third down. And at the first and second down, you have to be able to transition into the pocket. You have to be able to make a pass rush after, you know, playing on what may look like a run block. And, you know, we just have to do a better job of that. And we have to do a better job of being in coverage and contesting. And again, I like how they respond in the second half. We're going to have to play better earlier, pass coverage and versus second down.
You talk about Drake's athleticism, the athleticism of Pop Douglas with that one-handed catch from behind him. Like,
we didn't have to make it that hard, did we?
No. But how?
Throw it in front of him.
But what a highlight. Like, watching that from home looked sick. I can't imagine being the head coach and seeing it play out on the sideline.
Yeah, and again, Pop made a huge play and, you know, just get the timing down there and make sure that they're both on the same page. I think that's important. But it was a huge play, and we're going to go for it. You see the players. We're going to stay aggressive here and score touchdowns.
Well, you probably made a few one-handers. So
yeah,
back
definitely.
And, yeah, back I made and, a few of those. Yeah, I made a couple of those. But you know what I want?
Who is a better receiver, you or Mike Vrabel?
Oh, me. By far.
Really? Okay. I mean, man.
It's like
man
asking who was a better.
Man had touchdowns repeatedly.
Yeah, but that's when I left.
Yeah, but I had a fifth grade teacher said, yeah, but be a
no,
good
no,
name
no.
for a horse.
Those goal line touchdowns didn't come when I was here. I was gone.
That would have been your ball.
It
would have been the same way.
I don't think so. Vrabel had good hands, but not as good as mine. It's like asking who was a better pass rusher, me or him. Come on, it's not even close. One of the areas that we were a little bit concerned, myself included, as fans going into, was the wide receiver group. Give a lot of respect to Todd Downing, but these guys have not only done it in the passing game, you talk about it in the run blocking game. Talk about what that group has been able to do, especially coming to the seasons with, you know, I think expectations were very low from a lot of people on the outside looking in.
Well, that's good. I'm glad expectations were low. Then we're trying to exceed them. I think that group is just continues to grow. I think that Steph's been a great leader. I think Mac's been a great leader. I think Kayshawn has taken it upon himself to compete and improve and get better through training camp, and that's paid off in the season. The understanding that they all have with route detail, route craft, how to work with the quarterback, Pop shown up. I think their effort when they don't have the football has been much improved. You see guys blocking. You see late in the game. You see Diggs coming over. Blocking the safety on weak rotation or things like that. So, Todd's really done a good job of bringing that group together, I think, off the field, and therefore that's translated into a lot of positives on the field.
I think Steph Diggs was someone that we spoke probably more so than outside of Drake May on the entire offseason. We talked about things on field, off field, everything. And he has been remarkable in his consistency, but also his leadership. Like, I saw the locker room, we get a minute snippet of it after the game from the social media team. But can you express what you have had in your expectations for Steph Diggs?
He's easy to talk to. He's fun to be around. He's the same guy every day. Communicates well. If something comes up, or again, our conversations are very easy. They're good. He's doing everything that we've asked him to do, and hopefully we can keep going.
It does seem like from the outside, Wiggy was talking about that before, there's been a massive culture change here. And you're the leader of the organization. What do you attribute that to being able to come in and change on and off the field, change the culture?
Just try to be authentic, try to be real, try to support people and help them do their jobs, hire good people, knowledgeable people, make connections with the players, make connections with the people in the building, and that's just what we're trying to do. And winning, and then try to win, and that brings morale up.
And immunity shots.
It doesn't hurt.
All right. Did you get any barbecue while you were in Nashville?
No.
What is the best barbecue in Nashville? We debate this on the show. Curtis likes
Ed Lee's and Martin's are probably the leading. Martin's got a brisket burger there.
Curtis loves the brisket.
I've never been in Nashville, so when I get down there, I'll check one of those spots.
You guys don't travel?
We don't bring Wiggy.
Yeah, they don't bring when they do travel.
You guys travel, but
I don't travel.
He doesn't like to fly.
He's got the John Madden bus. Yeah.
He's very specific about
that. I like to play cards on the plane. They don't want to play no Blu-ray.
He requires a 4-star hotel. He won't stay with the rest of us at the motel.
No, I look like a nice hotel.
You know how that goes. Yeah.
They get you on a road trip.
Yeah. One day. All right. One day.
Thank you, guys.
Coach, keep at it. That is Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Keep it up, brother.
And the conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday, and we will get to our leads coming up next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us on the guest line here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons is Drake May. Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake May, I almost can't even ask you how you're doing this week. How could you be doing badly? You're in a four-game winning streak. You're in the second seed in the conference. You completed 21 of 23 passes. Safe to say you're having fun these days?
Trying to. We've got to keep it up. But yes, sir. Big win yesterday, and we've got a tough challenge this week, so it should be some fun.
Let's start at the beginning of that game yesterday where you guys ran the ball chunk play after chunk play to Ramondre Stevenson, something I know you guys have been saying is close. Josh has been telling us patience, and it was working early on there. When you see that kind of success on the ground as a quarterback, are you thinking, oh, this is going to pay off because this is going to open play action passing game, and this is really going to make this offense that much tougher to deal with?
Yeah, I think that's what you can think. I was really just thinking, hey, keep on feeding them. Keep on feeding the run game. That's what I was thinking during the game. Just keep giving it. And those guys were, giving Andre some room, and they were making plays. So that's what I was thinking during the game. Just keep on running it.
Drake, what does it mean to you now, 18, 19 starts into your career, not even halfway through your second season in the NFL, to be achieving such statistical rarities every week, earning your name in all of these graphics on television and social media next to Dan Marino, Tom Brady, Joe Montana? I mean, you're on such a statistical roll right now. It's almost like we've never seen before.
Yeah, I think one of the best things that Coach Vrabel was saying this week, playing the Titans last week, was stuff that's interesting versus important. I think all that stuff is interesting, and it's cool to be, in those graphics and whatever you mentioned. But I think what's important is trying to keep it going, keep on winning games. And you've got a home stretch here, so looking forward to getting back in front of the home crowd and give these home fans something to cheer for.
Do you consider yourself a perfectionist? And I ask that because last night when the media in your press conference told you you were 21 of 23, you set the record for completion percentage, you were like, yeah, but there was a couple I'd like to have back, a couple I made bad decisions on. Do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
I think it's the nature of playing this position. You want to be perfect, and you're never going to achieve it, and you're going to try. But, there's times where I feel like I tucked it, but I had some guys open, and there's one on the sideline I missed, Ty to Kyle, and one of the first for third down. So there's still stuff we left out on tape, and I'm thinking the fourth quarter we can do a better job of really putting them away. And really from that standpoint, that's how you got to look at it, and still try to learn from these wins that we do keep stacking.
Let's go back to what I think most of us believe to be, well, some might say it was the pass to Diggs on the sideline, but to me it was the deep ball, 39-yard touchdown to Kayshon Booty late in the second quarter that was the pass of the day. I think you guys needed that touchdown right there to really kind of wrest control away from the Titans because they were up early on you, 10-3. Take us through that, how that one evolved. Booty said that you guys practiced that one all week, and I was just curious if you knew that on the TV broadcast, Jason McCourty said right before you took the snap, stepped back, and hucked it 55 yards that he was guaranteed sure that Josh McDaniels was going to slow play the drive and make sure you guys ended with the ball in your hands trying to score right as the clock expired.
No, I didn't see that. That's funny. Surely you're just trying to score a touchdown. Usually kind of in a two-minute scenario, you try to you always take a shot deep to try to get a touchdown. We did the same thing last week in New Orleans, and sure, I think they gave us an opportunity. We took advantage of it, but what a catch. I saw the replay of the catch with Kayshon. Golly, that was a heck of a catch, and I think you're always trying to come out with points, and they say the term double dip after halftime to get points before and after, and we did that. So from there, I think the mindset to try to score points, and if they give us a touchdown, that's what we're going for.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Whether it's that catch, which I agree with you, heck of a catch. I actually thought you overthrew him when I saw it live. I was like, oh, he missed him. And then right on the fingertips, he snares it. Or even the throw to Austin Hooper, where he kind of mossed the defensive back. When you see guys make those plays for you, do you sort of bank that? And does that make you even more confident next time? Oh, next time, yeah, there's a guy on him, but I know he'll make a play for me. Is that confidence in the making?
Yeah, I think it's 100%. I think that's you know, gets confidence in me throwing to him. You know, there's been numerous times, you know, throughout the entire year. I remember the Hunter's catch over the middle against Buffalo. He get up and got it. Kayshawn's made some great grabs on the sideline, and Diggs getting his feet in and pop with the one-hander yesterday. I think that's just, you know, just keeps on going back to, you know, them making plays for me. I think that's what my job is to do, give them a chance to make plays, and that's what we preach in that room, and they're continuing to do it.
Let's talk about Mike Vrabel for a minute, if we can. Obviously, a very emotional day for him, though he tried to downplay it all week long, heading back to where he used to work and prowl the sidelines for 6 years. Can you sort of talk about how that emotion spilled over onto you and especially the team? You know, seemed like both your post-game press conference, which we heard live last night on our post-game show, and then that video the Patriots circulated on social media afterwards where you gave him a game ball, seemed like you were a little bit emotional there as well yourself. What kind of seems like he's having a real profound impact on you, Drake?
Yeah, I think it meant a lot to us. You know him downplaying, not making it a big deal, and what I was hinting at earlier, what's interesting versus what's important, and he cared about us. He cared about his team, and he said that was in the past, and now he's moved on. He's worried about us, and we love playing for Coach. And I know I had a similar experience back in high school when I left my old high school and played my old high school in a game and we beat them. And I know it's not the level of what Coach had being a head coach in the NFL, but I know that you know, it just means more, and we know it means more for him, and go back to a place where, you know, he's had history and great success. So we wanted to win it for him, and I think it was cool to see him kind of care in the locker room and show some emotion.
You are the captain, you're the quarterback, but were you also a little bit nervous in that game ball presentation? Because you're still just 23, and this is Mike Vrabel. There's a lot of grown men circled around you. Were you a little nervous there?
I wouldn't say that. I think you just say what comes to mind, and whatever's on your comes to mind, whatever on your heart. I think that's always something that's safe to go with. So that's been my mindset of anytime getting up in front of the team or inside the huddle, breaking them down. And I think that's the best way to approach it, just be yourself.
So, Drake, obviously you 21 of 23 in the passing yesterday, but you had a bunch of runs too. You're the second leading rusher, had over 60 yards on the ground, and took a couple of dings as well during the day. How are you feeling today? And any sort of talk with Josh or Mike about avoiding that afterwards, or anything you can do to try to make sure that to keep you on the field and on the sidelines and out of the little blue tent?
Yeah, I think that's important, just being smart. You know, being smart and knowing, you know, when to get down. And I slid a couple times yesterday and probably should have slid some more. But, no, I'm feeling good today and feeling good to go for get back out there and practice this week.
Do you worry about your head, or is that just something when you play the game of football that you know can be an issue? We're all familiar with CTE and concussions and all that, but you have to kind of put it out of mind to play the game. Do you worry about it?
Yeah, I think that's something that you try to really try to think of a lot. You know, in this sport we play, you know, it's a brutal sport, and you know, we put our life on the line out there, and we know that, you know, the benefits of it. You know, they're paying us a lot of money to play this game, and really, I think, you know, you're playing to win. So I think at, you know, whatever cost, you know, third or fourth down, or trying to get a first down, or in the end zone, is I'm willing to, you know, put on the line for the team.
One of the things that we've seen happen is you continually establish different kinds of relationships and chemistry with the receivers. You know, it's good with the tight ends now. You and Diggs have something going, had something early with Pop as well. And obviously the deep ball with Kayshawn Booty is excellent right now. We keep hearing that Kyle Williams is next in line, that he's really close to like making an impact on the game. Do you feel like that connection is near jumping out to the next level for you guys?
Yeah, I think he's doing all the right things. He's knowing where to line up. He's making plays in practice. He's making a lot of plays in practice on the scout team. So he's just keep on doing the right things, and he's got the right mindset. So he can help us, and we're just excited to see what he can do in the future for us.
I don't know if it annoyed you at the time, but you probably remember a question I asked you about desire to win or the drive to win early in the year. I've taken a lot of heat for that. And the more you win, the more it seems like a dumb question that I asked you back then. But now I wanted to ask you a different question that I've talked to a lot of athletes about over the years. Do you like winning more, or do you hate losing more?
Yeah, I think I hate losing. I think hating losing is what I've kind of throughout my, you know, any sports career. I think especially in a team sport, you know, that losing feeling, it hurts, and it's not a good feeling. So winning is enjoyable and fun, but there's still some things to work on. And losing, you know, you didn't put your best foot out there, and it's all that work you put into it. You want to come out on top.
With all the praise that's been coming your way recently, obviously pregame shows, postgame shows, national media, radio guys, everyone has been sending a lot of sunshine your way for the season that you're having. I'm just kind of curious, who in your life right now is like your perspective checker, or who like makes sure that you like stay in line and don't get too high on everything? Is it your wife, your brothers who famously roasted you on draft night?
My brothers will be there for rest of my life. They're always in the group chat or on FaceTime saying, you know, you had a guy open deep. My brother's at the game yesterday saying I had a guy open deep late in the game. So they'll always be there to, as the older brothers, to just remind me of.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll be always, they've always done that my whole life. So I enjoy it.
Well, tell them that Jason McCourty on the telecast said he's never seen anyone throw deep balls better than you, so your brothers must have really high standards. I wanted to ask you something about Mike Vrabel. You gave him the game ball. It's clear you guys love your coach. Like, we can just observe and see how much you care and appreciate for your coach. Has anything surprised you about playing for Mike Vrabel? Because I covered him as a player, and I thought he was more of a hardo than this. He seems to have a little bit more of a loving style of coaching, or supportive style of coaching, than I thought he might. But has anything surprised you through this to this point playing for Mike Vrabel?
No, I wouldn't say surprised. You're just kind of learning your head coach as you go about it. I don't think, you know, much of it is surprise. You're just kind of learning you know, what he expects out of us each week, how much he's going to challenge us and coach us, and then how much he cares about us at the end of the day, and sees the big picture of wanting to get the best out of us, and wanting to do it in his way, and what he feels like is best for the team.
So looking forward, Drake, obviously you guys, I think a lot of us are surprised, but it's awesome to see you guys are the number two seed in the conference, sitting at 5-2, four-game win streak, 3 road wins in a row, first time the franchise has ever accomplished that, so congrats. And now you come home for, I think, a couple of tougher tilts than people anticipate, with Atlanta coming up in a few weeks, but then Cleveland this Sunday as well. How's this little gauntlet of these two home games followed by Tampa looking at you right now?
Yeah, I think it's a tough stretch. It's just a tough stretch for us going to be offensively. You know, the Cleveland's really good on defense. Atlanta does some great stuff. But, yeah, I think just focusing on Cleveland and trying to get back out there in front of a home crowd and try to, you know, keep on making one of our goals is being a making it tough to play at our place, and that's what we're trying to do. We know we got a tough challenge versus Cleveland on defense. They're playing well.
I saw the report that you hosted the offensive line dinner this week, some hibachi. How did that go? Is it safe to say there were not squirt guns filled with sake being shot around the room? Is that not okay? How'd that go?
Yeah, that wasn't. We told the hibachi guys that wasn't the vibe. We were just trying to get some food and camaraderie. So it was good.
And your wife made dessert. I read that detail. She made some homemade desserts for everybody. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's trying to. I think they liked them, so she'll probably have to make some more for them pretty soon in the upcoming weeks.
All right, Andy, should we welcome him into his favorite new segment?
Let's go. It's may or may not time.
All right, Drake, so as you know, okay, well, it's good to know that that's your aw shucks for it. All right, so every week I want to ask you a couple of questions as we help get to know you. Drake, may or may not, of course, may means yes, may not means no. Based off of your hibachi dinner with your teammates last week, may or may not, next time you have the offensive line over, hire a sushi chef.
Sushi? Ooh. I probably think that's a may. I'm not a huge sushi fan, but I know the guys are. So whatever the guys want, that's a possibility.
Okay, nice. In light of the trip to Nashville, country music, may or may not?
May, yeah, big country music. Big country music fan.
You got any favorites? Who are your favorites?
Ooh, favorites. Luke Combs from my hometown. Eric Church, big fan. Jason Aldean. I went to Morgan Wallen concert recently. He was good, so I like listening to everybody.
All right, we can maybe have a little rejoin there with some of your favorites here during the segment. May or may not enjoy a good cry while watching an emotional movie.
May not. No, I'm not a very emotional crier watching movies. My wife is, but not me.
All right, and last one for this week, pumpkin spice. It is the season. Pumpkin spice, may or may not?
May. I love pumpkin. Pumpkin bread, pumpkin pie. I'm a big pumpkin fan.
Nice. All right, time now for the quarterback question of the week, which is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. Kyle in Kingston wants to know, what did you think of your little taste of Massachusetts high school football on Friday Night Lights?
I was impressed. I think two good teams. It was a great game. I ended up on a game-winning field goal and was impressed with the crowd. It was awesome to get back into high school sports and take a look back at reminding me of my days playing high school. So it was fun to go out there and watch.
Can I ask you what did you reach peak selfie or peak handshake, high five, or autograph? Or were people cool with you?
No, it wasn't too bad. I mean, a few fist bumps and selfies, but it was cool.
Massachusetts high school football on par with North Carolina?
I think that'd be interesting. I think Charlotte football and North Carolina football is a little bit slept on, in my opinion, but I was impressed up here. I think it'd be some good games.
All right, man. Appreciate you having a little fun with us. Maybe we'll get you a pumpkin spice latte if we're ever in studio with you again. And good luck against the Browns and Myles Garrett this week.
Thank you, guys. Go Pats.
It's Ninko Wednesday, and Rob Ninkovich is brought to you by Ketch's Law, your attorneys, your neighbors, the official law firm of the New England Patriots, and they have won over $3 billion for injured New Englanders. Learn more at ketcheslaw.com. Hello, Rob Ninkovich.
Hello, Greg. How are you? You battling the rats in New York City?
Well, I'm not a fan. I know. Ugh. A lot of people love New York City. I just was saying earlier, not my favorite place to visit, and no. I don't know what it is. I prefer a smaller big city like Boston. There's too many people here. It's not my favorite place.
You don't realize how clean Boston is until you go to New York City and you go on the subway and you see all the rat holes everywhere. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go to a nice restaurant. And there's a rat scurrying through your legs.
The food's so good.
The food, with rat poo in it.
No.
They got rats in the restaurant.
No.
They got rats everywhere. It's like Ratatouille.
They've got rats everywhere here.
They have a rat czar or something that they pay $350,000 a year and they want to put on birth control. That's a really smart thing. Gas them all.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on, rats.
No purpose.
Put them on a pill.
No.
Yeah, how do you administer that?
They can't find a football team that can win a game to save their lives down here. So,
yeah, that'd be rough to be a Jets fan, that's for sure. Oh,
what is
good to be a Pats fan, though.
We were talking about that earlier because their owner was out publicly criticizing Justin Fields yesterday. They should have just kept Aaron Rodgers. They should have just kept Aaron Rodgers around for another couple of years.
Yeah, it's a storm of poo in that area right now. So
who was Aaron Rodgers' coach? What's his name?
Sala.
And that's who he hated. So if they had brought in Aaron Glenn, I think that Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Glenn probably could have made it work.
I don't know. I think some of these coaches, they have this it's my way, my people, my guys. You didn't come here through me, so I'm going to get rid of you and you're bringing my own people. So it happens all the time. So I just think if he survives this season, I don't know how you keep him. If they don't win a game... They don't look like they're going to win a game.
No, but I mean...
You got dysfunction. You got arguing. You got letting the time go out before halftime with timeouts in your pocket. So, I don't know. If they continue to look the way that they look or get worse, I don't know how you could keep them as a head coach.
They have a hard schedule, too, when you look at who they've got.
Who's the last team that didn't win a game? Was it the Detroit Browns. Lions?
Lions.
The Browns?
Was it the Browns or Lions?
Hugh
Jackson with the Browns, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't win one game. Okay, well, no. All right.
I was on a team that almost didn't win a game.
Really?
1-15, 2007 Miami Dolphins. It was
the worst.
Cam
Cameron, right?
Hey, y'all. Hey, we're just going to keep working hard, guys. We're going to keep working. Like, yeah, we're going to keep sucking.
By what week do you give up, though?
Well, I wouldn't get on the field. I was asked, hey, is there any way I can get on the field? Right. Well, we got the guys out there we think are going to help win games. It's like, coach, we're 0-10.
Right.
You're going to get fired.
Nick, what was that like? I don't know you're on the
team. It was terrible. There were fights on the airplane. Guys were losing $300,000. Before practice.
Holy cow.
For gambling?
Yeah, gambling. Oh, they'd be like, hey, you owe me $300. And I'm just like, what? $300 on a Thursday?
I didn't know Shohei was on the team. No.
Joey Porter was crazy.
The game, Moss, the 07 Patriots game in Miami was one of the most.
I was on the sidelines watching the Patriots and saying to myself, wow, that's a real football team.
Like, and talk about a mismatch.
I swear, Tom didn't even break a sweat. Or run. He just walked up to the center, hike, threw a bomb, touchdown, walked to the next play, threw a bomb, walked to the next play. I'm like, this is nuts. We're getting destroyed. Wow.
There were three defenders on Moss, and he caught it without an issue in the end zone, like twice.
Yeah.
He's that good, man.
And Greg, we were talking about the ineptitude of the Jets. Ninko was the guy right behind the guy running the butt fumble back for a touchdown.
Yeah, I was right there. I had a first row seat.
Craziest play you were a part of?
I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff. That one, I was more like, what just happened? You had to re-see the replay and watch it. And I'm like, oh, wow, he really ran into the back of his own player and really gave that one up. So, that's a play you wish he has back, I'm sure.
He's having a good year.
In Miami, at the end of the season in Miami, who remains standing? Is it Mike McDaniel or is it Tua?
Well, they overspent on both of them, so they're both contractually there. So I think McDaniel's there till 2028. So if you're McDaniel, you're like, yeah, fire me. I'll go make the rest that you're going to owe me, and then I'll go get a OC job somewhere. And
yeah.
Just I wonder how much they owe Tua. That's an interesting
question. A lot of money.
Is it a lot of money?
Yeah, they just paid him.
Yeah.
So the second that they paid him, he had the concussion issue.
Right.
So he's not going anywhere.
Hmm. 4 years. $212 million.
Ooh, now I wonder what the cap hits like.
$56 million next year, $53 million, and then $65 million in 2028.
What in the world?
Got him.
If they were to cut him next year, the dead cap is $137 million.
Oh. Who are they negotiating against?
So guess what? He's there.
Yeah, he is definitely.
He is not going anywhere.
No.
And the only thing, if you're the new coach coming in, you're like, okay, Tua's going to be my quarterback. Do we do a little more power running with him?
Are you surprised that
downhill? Yeah. He's like, what? Don't do that.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Say, hey, we're
send him to retirement early.
Oh, are you surprised that Flores is not, like, because he was obviously right about Tua in hindsight. I mean,
Flores. So the thing with B. Flo is he is a hot head type ex player guy. I mean, he played football at a high level. So he's a BC D1 linebacker. I mean, I've been in meetings with him and he's going after guys. I mean, like, to where you're like, okay, all right, we don't need any like fist fighting in here.
Going so, after guys like yeah, you're telling them to step it up or whatever.
Yeah, like what teammates are you doing here? Yeah. And somebody says, well, I'm doing, no, you're not. You need to do it like this. And then they go, you know, it's easy in a room when you have football players and a coach and they start to go back and forth. And then if you don't have somebody that can de-escalate and you have two like-minded tempers, it can flare up really quick. Huh. You know, I've seen guys get after it pretty quickly. So I can envision him in a setting with ownership that he disagrees with something and he's not going to just go along with it. He's going to say,
backing down from
I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to stick with what I believe in. And then that's how things transpire to where you get moved on from.
Got it.
You know, so But I love the fact that he is that way. You know, if I'm a player, I want a guy like that. I don't want somebody that's going to just be like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Right.
No, step it up. You're not playing well enough. You know, and I think he's that type of coach. He's going to call people out. And you need that.
But it becomes a problem when you're invested, like the number to Tua, and the guy that you're calling out is now your franchise quarterback who the ownership is – dumped a bunch of money in. Yeah. And then, like you said, back and forth to where Tua is probably not going to go back and forth. He's going to run upstairs and say, hey, this guy we got here.
But Mike McDaniel is not, for all of his weirdness, he's not wrong about it. Like, Tua takes none of the responsibility when they don't win and points his finger at everybody else. Mike McDaniel's not wrong about it.
Right, but Mike McDaniel doesn't have that beef flow to call Tua out. I mean, I know he kind of threw him under the bus, but does he seem like the type of guy that would get in a guy's face and say, step it up?
Listen, I don't think, not without a step watch ladder. Him. I mean, he's a short king.
Greg, if you watch him on the sideline and he's calling the plays, sometimes you can almost see his nervous energy. Right. He's got this nervousness to him that I don't feel as a former player. I could see him standing up at the front of the room and commanding the whole room to where everyone's attentive and listening.
To win games, you have to win the game.
Yeah, like that. Right then. Like, hey guys, to win next week, we got to just win, and we got to do better. But we can't do like we did last week. We just got to win the game. We have to win the game. And you're like, what? Excuse me?
Guys are probably like, hey, what are we going to club tonight? What y'all
Yeah. Where are we going? Prime 112?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the steakhouse. We're going to Tootsie's.
Before we talk about the Patriots, could you just get your thoughts on another story this morning, which is, I can't wait to hear what you think about it. The Ravens end up removing the video game consoles and the ping pong tables and the cornhole boards from the locker room, and there are guys, I don't know, Ryan Clark or whoever, who are like, well, now you're going to lose the football team. Like, if you were like,
you're going to lose the team because you can't play cornhole.
Right.
No, I think, I think the video games is something that you shouldn't have anyway. I wouldn't have video games because you're sitting on there like, hey, let's get on Fortnite real quick. The beanbag stuff, you're always going to have things in the locker room. I think back to when we had the locker room, there was like a little basketball hoop and guys would just shoot. We would even shoot baskets into the trash can. Right. We'd take the bag out and they'd shoot in the trash can just in between meetings. So, but I don't think it's going to make the locker room say, hey, you know, I don't want to play here anymore because I don't have cornhole.
I think we had like a ping pong table. It comes off as like when a coach does that, I feel like it comes off as like petty in the sense like you're like looking for little things that have no effect to the game. It's like a police officer pulling over somebody for not having a blinker on when there's a shootout across the street. Like,
it's really? Like a parent.
It's like when my son comes home and has a bad grade on something and I go, Everett, why did you get this grade? And like, oh, I don't know. Did you study? Well, no, I didn't study. What'd you do? Oh, I was playing video games. All right, well, you don't get video games until you perform better on your test. Same thing. Until you guys start winning, I'm not going to let you go play Fortnite.
Well,
I'm not going to let you go play video games.
It's kind of demeaning, though. If you're a player, you're like, I'm a grown man, and like, I don't need you taking away a beanbag or video games from me. I don't think it's the act
of
taking it.
Well, they don't run like they're not coaching the team. Like, they're losing, and it's you have their head coach is like, I gotta try to get these guys to pay attention and try to win some football games. Like,
but I don't think bean bags and ping pong tables are the reason why we're losing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes coaches can be real super petty and they start nitpicking for things, saying, okay, let's really focus on the real issue here. What are we not doing at practice, in meetings, those type of things, rather than going, all right, let's take away their ping pong table.
Put your cell phones in this box when you walk in the building. Please, no cell phones in the building while you sit here and scroll on your Instagram.
Yep.
Okay, well then, why last year you had guys that were all excited about riding bicycles throughout the locker room, and Mike Vrabel gets here and gets rid of them? Why?
Bicycles? Were they riding bikes?
Yeah.
In the locker room?
Yes.
They were more like tricycles. They were like small.
I have a real problem with the tricycle, with the scooter. You think about back when we were in school.
Yep.
You would walk to class.
Yep.
Now everyone has an electric scooter. How lazy can you please just walk and not run into the old lady walking down the sidewalk with your electric scooter?
It's a major problem.
It is a major problem.
They're everywhere.
Or the one wheel. You ever see the guy with the one wheel? It's just a single wheel.
Yeah, the unicycle.
unicycle. I always want to throw like a stick in front
like
of it.
Clowns? Just to see.
Like the powered one you're talking about?
It's a powered one wheel. I always want to see.
Yeah. Like in Big Daddy where they throw the sticks.
He's rollerblading.
Yeah.
Who rollerblades? I want to see somebody on rollerblades. Oh, that's what I want to see.
A lot of people rollerblade.
No, there's
nobody rollerblading.
So I was doing Castle Island 2 days ago, and there was lot of rollerbladers.
That was just great.
Was it more of a female or male population? Male rollerbladers.
You could tell they were a lot of like former college hockey players, maybe. That were.
Did you like it? You liked it though? Yeah. You like rollerblading?
I noticed it was. It's a bit hardo for me, to be honest.
So I know earlier you guys had the five turnoffs.
Yes.
I would think that a male rollerblader wouldn't be a turn on.
It depends if their ankles are sturdy or if they look silly.
What if you have cankles? So right. Me, if I rollerblade, it would be calf straight down to the rollerblade, just like a big block.
Yeah,
you know? I look like Brian Boitano.
I mean, don't sell yourself short, Nico. You're staying in fantastic shape.
I'm trying.
Right?
I'm trying my best. I don't want to look like a melted candle after retirement.
Yeah, you don't look like you got stung by a million
bees. You know, you ever
either.
See somebody and you haven't seen them in a long time and you're like, hey, and you don't even know who they are?
Yeah.
You ever see somebody and you're like, I don't know who that is. And they'll be like, hey, Rob, good to see you. Hey, hi, how are you? Great to see you. Yeah, it's been a while. And then all of a sudden it hits you like a ton of bricks. You're like, oh, my God.
It can go both ways, too. They could look great
or they could look really bad.
Don't want to be that guy going the wrong way as a former player. And like, damn, did you see him?
Oh, yeah.
He played at 260. Now he looks like he's about 400.
Well, Jeff Saturday is the biggest one to me.
Yeah, he's like gone the other way.
Unrecognizable.
Gone other way. Teddy's gone the other way, too. Teddy's super thin.
He's
super thin.
He's thin.
Woody went the other way. Woody went way up, but then he took the biggest loser and came down.
The
but now
biggest
he's,
loser.
He's ooh. Getting a little bit back.
Was
on.
He on that documentary about how the biggest loser didn't really
no.
take
oh,
care
no.
of the people?
Yeah, no. He was on the show, but yeah.
Brutal.
It's bad.
Rob Ninkovich is here. We should talk Patriots at some point.
Yeah, let's do it. Come on, we can do that.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll do that next with Rob Ninkovich on the Greg Hill Show at WE.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah.
Hi, noon! Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Taking you up until 2 o'clock. It's a Tier Tuesday. It is also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curtin NBC Sports Boston joins us every Tuesday at high noon. You can check out his work at Tom E. Curran on Twitter and, of course, at NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am tremendous. How are my guys?
Doing great. We're doing wonderful. We went through and re-tiered all the Patriots positional groups. We were a little lower on Drake May in the offseason. We now continue to move him up, as many do, throughout football. Drake May, another strong week. Constantly compared to having similar statistical outputs to Tom Brady. What do you think of that, where May just continues to pop up over and over and over again with the name Tom Brady 7 weeks into year two?
Numbers is numbers. You cannot dispute them. And honestly, sometimes those numbers get into contortions of, you know, the tallest player on a Monday night to throw 40 times and complete 17 or more of them. But these are actually fairly concrete numbers. The game's changed to an extent, but I'm adding some qualifiers to help explain why what Drake May is doing isn't exceptional, and it is. I just don't know what kind of deal with the devil the kid made to go from a little bit of a wild stallion to a Brady, Montana, Marino, Kurt Warner, 2001 jambalaya in a month's time. So it's real. Best sit back and enjoy it as long as it lasts. And I don't know when it ends. But to me, what I make of it is he's playing at a ridiculously high clip ahead of even the most optimistic Drake May fans' expectation.
Yeah, through seven games and seeing what the offense has done, what has surprised you the most? Is it just Drake May's performance? I know you've been high on Kayshon Boutte going back to training camp. Is it Steph Diggs and his play? Is it the offensive line? Is it something that has stood out here through the first seven?
What surprised me the most is just what we just talked about. There's just no reasonable explanation for a player to go from a little bit mistake prone, a little bit jumpy at the beginning of games, a little bit given to trying to do too much, to playing absolutely clean every single week. So that is the most surprising, and that will continue to be the most surprising until I am lowered into my grave. I mean, I watched the Brady thing.
Right.
I saw it coming. This, with a better and more talented athlete, I did not see coming.
Well, don't you think this is sort of where maybe the Josh Allen comparisons came in? Because Josh Allen, not that he was like a turnover machine, but he was a little bit, he wasn't super accurate, and he was a little fast and loose with the ball. And then all of a sudden, it was like now it took him an extra year. It was year three. We're like, oh, he's like one of the three best players in the league. I don't think a lot of people had that on their radar.
No, he played stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, he did stupid things. And, you know, if we want to be honestly objective and callously honest, Drake May did stupid things. He did a stupid thing in the first preseason game, which you thought, okay, well, he's still going to do some of those things, huh? You know, he had a stupid pick at the beginning of the second half against the Raiders on a 1st and 10 and the team had the lead. So, but the drastic change to all it took was Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel saying to him a few times, can't do that. This is like, okay, I won't do it anymore. How about this? Yeah, that works. So Josh Allen would be the best comp. We tried to come up with somebody last night on early edition for a while. I mentioned Kurt Warner, but that was a team who was throwing Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holden and Marshall Faulk in the backfield. Mentioned Sam Darnold, but, you know, he stunk and then went to a good team and was really good. He wasn't completely bulletproof, which is what Drake May has ascended to. So that's been the biggest surprise. I think there was an underrated aspect given to the impact that McDaniels would have, the impact that the quality of receiver that Boutte is. It's not a coincidence anymore dating back to last year that he's a really, really, really good downfield receiver. Diggs is back to being close to the Diggs that he was. But the offensive line has had an impact. But it really does start with May and his improvement.
Time now for Tommy Curran's Drake Take, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. A lot of Drake conversation. You mentioned you don't know what deal he made with the devil to play like this, and you're not sure how long it lasts. Is that tied to his, inability, it seems, to avoid some of these head injuries? He left a game last year against the Jets. He left and then returned against the Chargers. He's had two incidents this year, one against Pittsburgh, I think it was, and the other this past week, smashing his head off the turf where he missed a couple of plays. How concerned should the Patriots be about Drake continuing to put himself in harm's way?
I think they should be concerned to a point where they're saying, instead of doing the stiff arm there, which you did the other day and then got rolled like an alligator, how about you just slide there? Okay, we can take the slide. And I would imagine, given his aptitude for taking coaching, he'll do that. So you should be concerned because there's stuff that you can't control. He does not take head shots generally. It's more of a banging his head on the ground after he gets hit, which is generally after he's been, you know, running with the ball or getting hit on his way down. So it's curable. So you should be always concerned about any quarterback. But my bigger concern will be what could alter the arc or at least cause a plateau. And that would be team saying, okay, well, he's good against the blitz. How about we bring six? How about we bring seven? How about we risk hitting him? Okay, we got a 15-yard flag. That's too bad. Somebody has to do something to unnerve him in order to have some level of success, and teams are going to continue to do that. This week it's Cleveland with Myles Garrett. Going forward, you'll see Atlanta, you'll see Tampa, and I would imagine teams are going to start saying, I know he's good against the blitz, but what are we going to do? Sit here and let him throw bombs over the top of people as he's been doing? We have to do something, so take your chances.
What's your take on Travion Henderson to this point? Because it's not like he's just a guy that was drafted high and then has always struggled, because in preseason, he might have been one of their most electric players. Not only did the kick return touchdown, but, you know, all the different practices, joint practices, preseason game, like he looked like he was going to have some explosion. And then you jump to the regular season and he just like runs into the line and gets tackled. It's a completely different player with Henderson.
And I think he just needs reps to get his mojo correct. You ride a player to get him into the flow of things and let him figure out what his NFL regular season pace should be. And they just haven't had the opportunity. If the quarterback is going to be 21 for 23, you're going to get a defensive touchdown, and the running back, the lead running back that you're trying to get right, is going to carry 18 times for 88 yards. You just put your hand on his shoulder over his locker and say, you hang in there. You're going to be an important player. We like you. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. You haven't done anything wrong. Just stay patient. I honestly don't have, because of the way he played in the preseason, I don't have any kind of Jalen Polk, this was a mistake kind of trepidation toward him. I really think that it's just a numbers game, and his number has not been called yet. I agree with what Vrabel is selling. I don't think that's propaganda. I think it's completely, that's the way it is. He just hasn't gotten the ball, and there'll be a point at which he does, and he might not be electric in that game when he has 12 to 13 touches, but it will set the stage for more production later.
Well, I'd say what's concerning is the pass blocking, which everybody thought was going to be a major plus and why he was NFL ready and one of the best some had seen, recent vintage at it, coming out of college. And he looks lost. I mean, he looks completely lost. The play that your colleague Andrew Callahan highlighted a few weeks ago, where he was like Madden glitching out, blocking nobody. he looks completely lost. So if I was going to go anywhere with the Jalen Polk discussion, you just brought that name up. Like that would be one area where I say, well, he was supposed to be great at that and he's been horrible.
Yeah, I just think Polk was such an outlier that I don't think lightning's going to strike twice and a guy just reverts completely to being completely unable to do what he excelled at in college at a high level at Ohio State. It's a matter of reps. I just don't think a guy goes from being able to do something to entirely not being able to do it. So I would err on the side of, okay, well, he's going to have to get better at that. But there's absolutely no reason he shouldn't.
Do you think that they figured out the run game, or was it more just Tennessee being really bad?
Tennessee is really bad. Yeah, they were allowing more yards on the ground than any team, but sometimes you have to go see a 75-mile-an-hour batting practice pitcher to get yourself right, Rich.
I agree.
And that was probably helpful for them. And it was good to see, if you really roll back some of those Ramondre Stevenson carries in which you can see how he's carrying the ball, it is vastly different from the going to the ground and hanging it out near his rib cage, up close next to his pectoral, with the point of the ball near his clavicle, which is much more what you want to see. So to me, they're figuring out little things. I thought the offensive line push was much improved. So I think it's not all fixed, but they at least made some positive improvements. And I do wonder how much the impact of Drake May's downfield throwing had on loosening up the running game. We saw it a little bit the week prior against New Orleans, where even though the Patriots weren't terribly effective, the Saints were still reacting to play action. And we're starting to see a little bit more of that from, I think, teams. So that's the conundrum that defensive coordinators are going to have. Do we want to blitz? Do we want to load the box? Do we want to put more people in May's face or trying to stop their running game when the guy's, you know, completing 80% of his passes 20 yards or more? That's why the Patriots, I think Patriots fans should always enjoy these games, because they are going to be a period in time where you go, holy crap, remember when May went off in September and October of 2025? That was crazy.
Well, not if it continues in November and December. It'll look a little less
Tom
crazy.
Seems a little skeptical here.
Okay.
All right. So you guys are thinking that he's going to continue completing 80% of his passes and go week after week after week with no turnovers. You guys,
he's
going to turn it over again, but it doesn't mean that you can't have a good game and you still can't win. I mean, you can't turn it over five times as a team.
You say I'm skeptical that it's going to continue.
Well, you're talking about deals
and
with
I
the
am.
Devil
I don't
and
think
2 months.
He's going to continue to complete 80% of his passes.
Okay. 75? We've seen some crazy completion percentages recently in the league. No?
Not downfield, though. I mean, David Carr completed 70% back in the day on 2 foot.
Well, that is
throwing it down the field.
Well, that's what's wild about 21 out of 23 this weekend is these were not check down Charlie throws, as he said. You mentioned we're going to look back on this fondly. No one likes the starts of these games defensively. Any Patriots fans, your colleague Evan Lazar highlighted this. EPA per play, I don't know if you subscribe to the stat. They are third worst in football on the first three drives of the game. After the first three drives of the game, they are the third best defense in football. Why the poor starts? Why can against some of the bad teams and bad quarterback play that they've faced, why has that consistently been an issue?
And that dates back to the beginning of the season, if you remember so many of their early games. And that was a concern that I had going into Buffalo, because Buffalo had been so efficient on its first two drives. The Patriots had been so bad. So this goes back all the way through the seven games. I can only ascribe it to what Vrabel is saying. You know, we're either too amped or not on the script, because the script for Tennessee, and Vrabel pointed this out, we saw those plays. We were prepared for those kinds of plays during the week. So why are we glitching on them? So clean that up before you go against a team like Tennessee that isn't like Tennessee, that's, you know, maybe like Tampa, that can be explosive and get a jump on you and put you in a position and defensively hold you down a little bit more than Tennessee might.
It seemed like Will Campbell, Jared Wilson, maybe not their best game of the season. They've been pretty good, though, over the course of the year. The offensive line, I think, is way better than people anticipated. But how do you feel about Will Campbell specifically through seven games?
Great. I mean, just in terms of, you know, we're not talking about it. I mean, when you think about the time invested in his arm length.
Right.
Just the...
Yeah, we dabbled. We dabbled for sure.
We did.
Yeah.
We
bandwidth
about
on the internet. Yep. The amount of time devoted to discussing whether or not he was a guard in disguise, whether or not the Patriots should take Tyler Warren, which was my big idea, at number four overall.
He's been good, though.
Take a tackle later. I mean, we have a lot of time to kill in March and April, so in our defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we just it's a non-factor, his arm length right now. So is he perfect? No. Is he is he in the top half of the league among left tackles? I haven't looked at all the stats, but I would guess that's PFF.
Yeah.
As of last week, and I don't think he had the greatest day on Sunday, but as of last week, he was in the top half of tackles entering play last week. How
I think the Kayshawn, you know what? I'm going to veer here and make an appraisal. I think Kayshawn Booty is really freaking good.
Yeah, were you comparing him? This came up. Were you comparing him to Anquan Boldin, or were people putting words in your mouth?
No, I was saying kind of a, you know, Timu Anquan Boldin.
Ah.
But listen to this, okay? He is the most efficient downfield receiver in the league. He's second in the league in terms of yards per catch among qualifying leaders at 17.80. And in terms of length of reception, he's at 16.75. That's first in the league. Here's the other guys in the top 10. Ricky Pearsall, Marvin Harrison, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Neighbors, Pickens, Egbuka, Adams, Addison, Waddle. He's catching 80% of the balls thrown to him. That is ridiculous. The next wideout with a catch percentage over 80 and that is included in the yards per reception is Devontae Smith at 29. It's insane.
So
he's 29th in yards per reception, Devontae Smith, among wideouts with catch percentage over 80.
You know, last week when you were on, we talked about, you know, trade deadline in a couple of weeks and if there was a running back available, and we all agreed, yeah, you'd take a look at it. What about receiver now? You know, at the beginning of the year, it was like, obvious. Oh, if you can get anybody, you got to bring him in. If you can get Jacoby Myers back, you got to do it. Now, with what you just said about Booty, the way Diggs has played, I think there's a Mac Hollins has clearly shown there's a role. How aggressive or not aggressive would you be at receiver?
I would be, and I've never been a big proponent of going to get the big, you know, outside receiver, the A.J. Brown. I mean, I'm a proponent of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was banging the drum for either Jacoby Myers or Devontae Adams this past offseason to upgrade the room prior to them getting Steph Diggs. And even after, I still thought that, you know, trade Meyer for Diggs or Diggs for Myers, excuse me, made sense to me. And, you know, in a vacuum, it might still not be a horrendous idea if it presented itself. It's not going to. I wouldn't recommend upsetting the apple cart at this point. Don't jerk the wheel, as Mike Vrabel said. Leave it alone. But I'm not saying go get Tyler Lockett, but a player who would give you veteran stability at the position wouldn't be a horrendous idea if the inevitable injury to that room befalls you. Somebody who can walk in and play the position and contribute without a lot of prep. I don't know what Philip Dorsett is doing. Why don't you go get him? I'm kidding.
Well, he's Tommy Curran. You can check him out every Tuesday at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keith, Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons. You can follow him on Twitter at Tommy Curran and check him out all over NBC Sports Boston. Tom, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Tom. Right. Tommy Curran joining us here at high noon every Tuesday here on the program. The quarterback comps are interesting. You know what one jumped into my head when he was talking about May comps? And he said Warner, which I don't know applies just because Warner's journey to the NFL was so odd. And
yeah, no, I look more like a top 10 pick.
Was he undrafted or a late?
Yes, no.
Okay, he's undrafted, then he's bagging groceries,
yeah.
Then he's in the Arena League, and then he was back in.
NFL Europe.
Like, is Burrow a terrible comp? Burrow was the number one pick. May was three.
No, but Burrow was pretty good right away, wasn't he? I thought he got hurt, and then he came back.
They lost a bunch of games, and he was hurt. How good was he individually? I think he was pretty good. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But
they had, like, the worst offensive line in football history.
Yeah, and Burrow also has Higgins and Chase, which...
Well, he didn't have Chase the first year,
but
right?
But by year two, he did.
Yes.
So, May
Burrow's
doesn't have...
first year, he played 10 games, went 2-7-1 with 13 touchdowns, 5 picks, and 2,700 yards.
Yes, I don't think he was bad. I think the team sucked.
Yeah, so
I don't
maybe
think
he was maybe bad, it is though. More of that. No, I mean, Allen's a good one. We brought up Herbert before. That's another good one. TexLive was saying it's like a young Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is year two and May's year two. Mahomes was unbelievable year two, but...
Didn't he win the MVP?
He did.
Yeah, but like
he threw like 50 touchdowns.
But he only played one game the year before,
correct.
So it's not like you saw him turn the ball over a lot and just, you
right,
know, and have struggles.
Like, this is what Mahomes is, and it turns out.
No, that's why I think not everybody wants to hear it, but I think Allen's like the most obvious one.
Yeah, but, but outside of Allen, what's another one?
Because Herbert was way better as a rookie than even Allen was, so I don't even think Herbert makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow is one, but okay. That's not perfect either. That's not a perfect analogy either. And he had a lot of, I'm guessing he's writing about Kayshon Booty. He had a lot of stats ready to go on Kayshon Booty.
He's been good.
He doesn't apply the if it lasts in November and December to Booty. That's
no.
Those numbers sound like those are just going to continue forever. The Drake May ones, he's
deal with the devil.
He is still lukewarm on May.
I mean, Tom Brady had a deal with the devil lasted 20 years. So
stay dug in. Stay dug in over there. It's okay.
That's fine.
He's very hesitant to say that May is going to continue to do it.
I know.
617-779-7937. We got Kiefer Madness for you every Tuesday at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. And as glass half empty as Curran was there on Drake May, it's nothing compared to Cam Newton. Let's get to that.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens on a Wednesday afternoon. Hoping that our buddy Ted Johnson will be back tomorrow. He has been very much under the weather. Caught a little bug or something, or a big bug.
You know what they say, they're going around these days.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is that really happening?
What, the bugs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I do.
You ready for it?
Not new.
It's coming for you.
Nope. I would prefer that not happen. Celtics season is coming for us at the Garden tonight. Joel Embiid and the Sixes.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the idea? You got kids, so you know this. Somebody was putting the idea out there that the 76ers should change their name for one game this year to the 6-7ers just to sell all the garb
six,
and
seven,
merch
six,
and
six,
all
seven.
That.
The 6-7ers would
it.
Absolutely
I
sell. You know what the
Boomer.
Funny thing is? The funny thing about that is, what team has been more 6-7 than the 76ers the past 5 years?
That's probably accurate. Let's go to the guest line now, where Sports Illustrated senior analyst and new member of the NBA on NBC TV, Chris Mannix, joins us. How you doing, Chris?
What's going on, guys?
Let's start with that. NBC has basketball again. It seems like, speaking of boomers, everybody's excited. It's like this retro thing. How excited are you to be part of that?
It's great. I mean, I was at the opener in Oklahoma City last night, and I don't think that NBC could have asked for a better return to NBA broadcasting with the, you know, not just the fact that the game went to double overtime, but that was a game between two elite Western Conference teams that both looked like they wanted this game as much as they wanted a game seven in the playoffs. So I'm excited to see all the things NBC is going to do. And I mean, like everyone else, like I think the return of Round Ball Rock and all the nostalgic things that NBC is doing on their broadcast is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's also not bad when you get a national voice like Mike Tirico calling the game. And oh, by the way,
sure,
you work with Michael Jordan, who's there telling a story about, you know, not having shot a free throw in 30 years and not letting a bunch of kids down by nailing that. Like, just the return even of that competitive drive alone was spectacular. But switching over to competitive drive for your Boston Celtics this year, Chris, what have you heard league-wide about what people expect from a team that obviously lost a lot of its size, made a bunch of offseason moves in transition, and their superstar is not back for at least several months?
Well, it's interesting. Like, my expectations for the Celtics have been pretty low. I mean, I've looked at the talent drain like everybody else, and even though the wing positions are pretty well stocked, it's just hard to win when you're playing such unproven guys in your front court, like the Celtics are planning on playing. But when I talk to executives and coaches league-wide, there's a lot more optimism about Boston's chances to be in that playoff mix this year. And their reasons are usually twofold. It's one, and it's a little bit abstract, but I keep hearing from coaches, like, it's hard to knock the winning out of a winner. And this team for the last 7 years has been enormously successful. Guys like Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, all they've known is winning. So even in a situation where they're, you know, a little more undermanned than they have been in the past, they're still going into these games expecting to win and knowing how to win. And the other variable is that the Eastern Conference is just ungodly bad. I mean, I was watching the game between Oklahoma City and Houston last night. Like, the West is going to have games like that all season long. They're just going to be rock fights between two highly competitive teams in that conference. The East, I mean, you could probably drop like the ninth or 10th best team in the West into the East, and that team would have a legitimate chance of coming out. So, you know, Boston's just going to have a much easier pathway to one of those mid-level playoff seeds than they would, you know, playing out in the West. So that's a long way of saying, like, the people that know better than I do, the head coach, and I had this conversation with the head coach just last night, they believe that the Celtics are going to be really competitive.
Along those lines, what do you believe, Chris, and maybe what have you heard about what people are expecting from Jaylen Brown as he gets his opportunity to be the centerpiece, the guy that's the lead dog here?
Yeah, I think an all NBA season is in play for Jaylen Brown. I mean, he's going to get all the opportunities that, you know, players in this position are afforded. His shot attempts are going to go up. His statistics across the board are going to go up. He's going to get a real chance to spread his wings, so to speak, and become, you know, kind of a star that he believes and many people believe he's going to be. If there's one, you know, one thing I would watch out for with Jaylen is that, you know, in addition to, you know, being the star of this team now with Tatum out, he's going to get all those defenses that were, you know, geared towards Tatum. And that's going to be a challenge for him to adapt to. It's been enormously successful for Jaylen as that kind of 1A guy in Boston. Now that he's being expected to carry a load, defenses are smart. They're going to load up on him. They're going to send multiple defenders at him. He's going to get the best wing defender every single night. So I don't expect it to be a easy season for Jaylen, but I do expect his numbers to go through the roof.
Chris, have you heard anything about Jason Tatum's timeline? Obviously, that's going to become one of the most discussed, speculated upon stories in Boston sports over the next couple of months, along with, can Drake may keep this up? Will the Patriots make the Super Bowl? So, like, we've heard everything from it could be December, could be January. Should we limit those anticipations? Anything you've heard?
Yeah, I would reduce the expectations for December for sure, and probably January. I mean, this is just not an injury that, you know, even when you're medically cleared, there's going to be a ramp up, a significant ramp up before you can get out onto the court. All I know is that when I talk to people around the league that know Tatum and people in Tatum's camp, he's going to try to play. Like, he's going to try to get back. And, you know, look, some of it, as he's talked about, is about kind of mentally putting himself into a place where he can get up every day, go to rehab 6 days a week and work towards something. But there's also a part of him that is looking around at the conference and saying, look, if we're in the mix, when I get back, maybe after the All-Star break, there's no reason we still can't win the Eastern Conference, even with the depletion of talent that they've had with this team. So I don't think December is realistic. I don't think January is realistic, but once that All-Star break comes and goes, I think it's going to be a discussion, and we're going to have to see where the Celtics are as a team before they decide whether or not to let him come back.
Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, NBC TV, here on WEEI Afternoons. You mentioned the sort of big three, the holdover three, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard. If we look further down the roster, who are we going to fall in love with? If this team is successful, who are we going to be like, wow, he's a better player than I thought he was?
I mean, it has to be Anthony Simons. You know, Simons has been a prolific scorer in his time in the NBA. He has been equally as prolifically bad defensively. He's among the worst defensive players in the league. It's just a fact. Look, he's going to get opportunities here, and he's also going to be put in a situation, you know, playing in a backcourt with White and Pritchard and Jaylen, that being a mediocre defender is just not going to be acceptable. No matter how many points you're able to put up, they have expectations within the Celtics that you are going to at least be serviceable on that end of the floor. So if this team rises, you know, above the expectation that they're going to be middle of the pack or below this year in the conference, it's, you're going to see a guy like Anthony Simons be a part of it. And look, I never discount what a guy can do in a contract year. Contract years are enormously successful for players in the NBA. They always tend to put something together that looks pretty damn impressive. And, you know, Simons is playing for that next big deal, and I would assume you're going to get the very best out of him.
Okay, so let's say, unfortunately, things don't go the way that we want to see them go, and the Celtics are on. They're below 500 team. If there was anyone that could be a potential surprise trade candidate for the Celtics, if they decide to go a bit more rebuild than compete for the postseason, who do you think that could be?
You know, I just don't see the Celtics going rebuild regardless of where they are in the standings this year, because everything this team is doing is being geared towards the 26-27 season. They've got their core intact. And if they sink in the standings, they still have control over their 2026 first round draft pick. And that can either be an asset they could use to get a cheap rotation player potentially.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.